Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and beloved, God is in the miracle working business. Our salvation is a miracle. That's where our Christian life starts, when we begin to know Jesus, when we've invited Him into our life as Savior, but also importantly as Lord. And if you did study on what that word Lord means, that means He's our King. We willingly and obediently follow His commands, the things that He asks us to do. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have one for another. And when we've accepted Jesus, God places a love in our hearts that is supernatural. Because in the natural, obviously, look around at the world, there's not a whole lot of love out there. Wasn't there a song years ago, "What the World Needs Now is Love"? That's true. And there's one expression of that love, that marvelous love that was expressed in the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, His life, His death, His resurrection and ascension, where He still, at this point, He is still interceding for the saints of God. Such love. Can you imagine what a glorious day that's going to be when we are all together around Jesus and celebrating Him for all that He has done in our lives? And it's my heart's desire. I know it's the desire of the Holy Spirit. He has a job to do. Jesus is interceding. The Father's will is going to be accomplished, but the Holy Spirit is here on earth to accomplish that will, to empower believers. And what was the important thing that Jesus said to His disciples after His resurrection? He was with them for 40 days, and He was seen up to as much at one point, 500 disciples at one time. Yet He said, "You tarry in Jerusalem until you be empowered with power from on high." He was going to send the Holy Ghost. He said, "It's necessary for you that I go, that I leave." And as we look back to the early Christians, we find that the Holy Spirit was not just an experience. He was a real, a tangible, experiential reality before He ever became a doctrine of the church. Their lives were transformed. Remember how fearful they were when, even though Jesus had been in advance, telling them, warning them of what was going to happen, nonetheless, they were traumatized, they were shocked, they were fearful, hiding behind closed doors. But when the Holy Spirit fell upon them that day, they were filled with boldness, and Peter preached to 3,000 that first day. So it was very obvious the empowering of the Holy Spirit was something critical to our Christian experience. That's why the Lord said, "Don't go anywhere." And of course, after that, then He did want them to go out unto the uttermost parts of the earth, which they did. Unfortunately, persecution had to engender that. They were comfortable in Jerusalem, and finally the persecution arose so that they did head out to various parts of the known world at that time. But Jesus told His followers that He would send the Holy Spirit to them and that they could experience Him in their lives. He was not given to them just by faith. Obviously, by faith they believed, but their faith was made an experiential reality in their lives. I mean, there was the sound of a great rushing mighty wind, and the appearance of cloven tongues of fire sat upon each of their heads. Now, the Lord is certainly able to do it. We don't experience that today, but when someone is filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as we call it, there is a definite experience in that there is a feeling of the presence of God, the power of God. And that's what we need. It is not our own strength. It is not our own ability that enables us to live the Christian life, let alone to minister to anyone else. In Luke 24:49, Jesus says these words, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you." That was the promise of the Father. "But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued or clothed with power from on high." And in Acts, the first chapter, verse 8, the word states that they would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and then you will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, the Comforter, that's one of his names, the Counselor, he's our teacher, one who goes, stands with us, walks alongside of us. That Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus said, will teach you all things and remind you of all that I have said to you. And as we review the life of the early church, we find the Holy Spirit was someone who was with them and moved mightily in their midst. He's the third person of the Trinity, beloved. He is a person. He's not an it. He is a person with feelings. It's possible to grieve him. It's possible to please him. And so when the Holy Spirit moved in the early church meetings, there were mighty manifestations of God's power. My question is today, how much are we as a whole, as the body of Christ in our local bodies and fellowships, are we experiencing the power of God? In the early church, there were manifestations of God's power. Acts 4:31 states, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." In other words, they were refilled, and we continually need that refilling. There's times you can get awful dry and dusty and feeling quite empty. Well, the Holy Spirit hasn't left you. It's our experience that we feel empty, but the Holy Spirit desires to renew that sense of strength and power and anointing, and we just have to ask him. It says, let me complete Acts 4:31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." Now, the Sanhedrin forbade them to teach further in the name of Jesus, but they said, in Acts, the fourth chapter, verse 17, this is what the word says, "And they called them and commanded them that they speak henceforth to no men in this name." Verse 18 says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." And Peter and John answered them in verse 20, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." You see, beloved, that's why it's so important that each of us have an experience of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I'd like to just stop right now. And Father, there are those who may not have even heard of the Holy Spirit in terms of the empowering of the Holy Spirit. There are those who've been seeking the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And right now, Father, there's no ritual, there's no formula. You don't have to tarry at the altar. It's simply a simple act of opening one's heart and receiving. And so, Father, right now, those who are hungry to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit right now, Lord, they've been praying, they've been seeking you, Lord, in a simple manifestation of your power, I pray that you will baptize them with the Holy Ghost and power, with the Holy Ghost and fire. That's what John the Baptist said. There was one coming after him who would do that very thing, whose sandals he wasn't fit to untie. And so, Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for the evidence of speaking in tongues. We thank you, Lord, for the scriptural empowering that comes so that we can not only live the life you would have us live, but do fulfill the mission that you have and the destiny you have for each of our lives. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, let me just share an experience. When I was saved, I was filled with the Spirit within that first month. And I remember I was at a home prayer meeting. I never actually had been in an actual church in years, because I said I would never be in a church again. However, the Lord has other ways of countermanding our verbal expressions as well as our thoughts and what we think we're going to be doing. And I had prayer at a home meeting, and nothing happened. And yet, I believe I received by faith, and when I was all by myself, because I was a rather shy and introverted sort of person, I said, Lord, this is what your word says. And so I began to step out all by myself, and he did give me a heavenly language. And so what are we talking about? The life of the Spirit, not just the baptism, not just speaking in tongues. That's just the evidence. But beloved, we don't need to focus on that. What we need to focus on is the empowering that the Holy Spirit gives. Living the life of the Spirit is allowing the Holy Spirit to move in your life, in the body of Christ. It is an experience where men and women who have given themselves to serving God are yielded vessels for the Holy Spirit to speak. We can minister in His name, and however He directs us, however He chooses to use us. And beloved, the wonderful thing is, we are all unique. Every single one of us, there's no competition in the body of Christ, unlike the world. It's not a matter of being like everybody else or striving against one another. God has a special place for you in the body of Christ that no one else can take, no one else can have. It is reserved for you. And it's there. He wants you to grow and to bring forth fruit and to prosper, not just in physical ways or financial ways, but spiritually, and that the joy of your life can be full. Did you know that our God wants His children happy? Well, if a natural father wants their children happy, don't you suppose that's the desire of the Holy Spirit and the Father? And Jesus, He's praying that you will be. Well, the time is just flying, and I must bring this broadcast to a close. So I thank you for joining me, and we will continue on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for joining me. And until then, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,